It's often thought that men who express their emotions are seen as weak. Right now, we'll show you just how wrong that is. It's Triple M's Real Men Can Talk.
Today, we're talking between blokes, two blokes having a chat to prove that men can actually talk and do it well. And my name's Ben. I'm joined by a legendary squash player, sports commentator, and a very much loved member of the Triple M family, Mr. Chris Dittmar.
How are you, Ben?
Good, mate. Now, obviously, Triple M's No Talk Day is coming up July 1. I want to start there. This day obviously is encouraging the conversation for blokes to have that. What does this day mean to you? What do you think about it?
Gee, that's a... certainly it's a day of learning and a day of enlightenment because I've lost school friends and I've lost workmates and I've lost... And we all have. And when I say it's a day of learning, I always just question it and go, why? What drives you? What drives your mind to be in such a state that you think the only option is to end it all? I'm happy to say, and I hope this doesn't sound indulgent, but I'm happy to say I've been a billion miles away from ever thinking like that or wanting to do that, and therefore I don't understand it. And there's almost an anger that comes with it for me, and I've got to learn not to get angry. You know, you get angry because you think, why did that person do that? Why would you go to those depths and leave behind beautiful people as well and people that cared for you and could have helped you through it? So... Gee, it's when you ask that question, yep, there's anger, there's enlightenment, there's learning, there are lessons, there are all sorts of emotions, I think.
Has a mate, if I can ask, ever reached out to you and actually said, do you know what, Dits, I'm not okay?
Look, I can honestly say I haven't had that situation. So it's not something I can really expand on, Ben, or talk about. I haven't had someone that close to me say it, no.
Do you find that, like, strange? That there's blokes, we don't do that?
Yeah, maybe it means that people are bottling things up. Maybe they are. And maybe in my own way, if I really think deeply about that, if I lash out at home or if I argue over something really, really petty, is that a sign of, I've actually got so much going on at the moment and you've just, something small that you just did to me, my beautiful wife, you've just triggered something in me that's made me really angry. I think if I'm disappointed in myself in any way, it's that I get angry at things that later on I think, that just wasn't worth it. Was not worth getting angry about. It was pathetic. Mm. And again, I wonder if that's what leads to people flipping a little bit as well. That can I share something with you? Please. Recently, Hugh Van Kylenburg came into Triple M. Mm. And some people have heard of him. Those that don't know, he's worked a lot with the AFL clubs and he's done a tour, a speaking tour here recently. My son went and heard him speak, said it was just outstanding. You know, I learnt one thing from Hugh Van Kylenburg that has changed me as a person in a month. And you might say, oh, come on, that's ball dust. I'm serious. So simple thing he said to Roo and I on our breakfast program, every day write down three things that you're really grateful for. Mm. I've started doing it. Would you believe I've changed overnight? I've changed in a month. So it's only been 4 weeks, but I'm less angry all of a sudden because I am focusing on what's been really, really good. You know, and it can be simple. It can be, I was on the golf course the other day and I thought, how lucky am I? I'm out here playing golf. It's an incredible day. And with that, I don't want to sound bloody churchy or anything because I'm not trying to sound deep and meaningful. I'm just trying to say that I'm out there thinking, bloody hell, there are people battling at the moment in India dying of COVID. You know, we're seeing bodies being burnt. You know, think of all the worst and most horrendous things that are happening in the world. And I'm having a game of golf. I then get in my car, I think, my God, Solitaire, give me a beautiful car. And I'm not saying that to do a plug. I'm saying through my job, a company says, here, drive a beautiful car around. I'm just, so each day I'm finding things and I think, bloody hell, how lucky am I? I work with Roo every morning. You know, I shouldn't take that for granted. And quite seriously, Ben, you actually start to change the way you look at life and the way you see things. If you see all of the good things in your day and the positive things, and why focus on something bad that happened? If I get cut off in traffic now over the last month, I haven't tooted my horn, I haven't yelled, I haven't put a finger up, I haven't, why? Because I got cut off. They didn't mean to do it. It was accidental. Do you know what I mean? It is seriously not worth getting angry about. And there'll be people listening to this going, yeah, well, I've known that all my life, you idiot. Well, I'm a slow learner. I'm 57 and I'm just learning it now. And I think it's making me a better person and a better person at home. I heard Alice, you know, our beautiful producer, Alice the Wag, she said to us this week, she read an article where don't complain about one thing for a whole week. So anything that comes up, you're not allowed to complain for a week. Mm. It'll change the way you look at things and the way you are. And I'm, you know, as I say, I'm learning those sorts of things at the moment that I think, are hopefully going to make me better and make the people around me happier and everyone better.
Was it hard to start that process, though?
Nah, as soon as he said it, I the first day I did it, day one, I knew straight away, I thought, I feel happier and I feel better for this. Actually changed, you know, really, really quickly. And he got, because Hugh Van Collenberg's a psychologist and a very clever man, he's actually studied the fact that it does change the way your brain works. I think he said it takes 21 days and your thought process has changed. And like I said, that sounds a bit deep, but I'm willing to give it a go. Why not be a happier person instead of being bloody upset, angry, yell at the dog, kick the dog, whatever? Why not go around just being a better person?
I'm going to ask you, mate, was there a time, any time in your life, whether it was in your sporting career or your personal life, where you yourself felt overwhelmed or low?
Yeah, and that's what I'm thing I'm talking about is that I'm slowly learning. I think the times I lash out at home and get angry, maybe I'm overwhelmed. Because when you look back and analyse, you think that just was not worth getting angry about. And that's what I'm saying. I think there is a subconscious thing there that we're letting all of these things get on top of us. Mm. And you know what? The most pathetic and easy thing to do is to take it out on someone else and yell at them. And it's not their fault.
Why do we do that, though?
I don't know. And I'm trying to work that out. But I'm sure that that is being overwhelmed by, pressures and things that are happening. So someone says the wrong thing at the wrong moment, and you yell at them like it's their fault. And when you think about it afterwards, well, they had nothing to do with it. And it could be your kids. You take it out on people around you, don't you, when you just shouldn't.
If I, as a bloke, came to you one day, Dits, we worked together, and I said, mate, I'm really not okay, would you see that as weak behaviour, or would you actually encourage that sort of behaviour?
You know what? I want to put my hand up right now and say that it would be brand new to me, and I think the reason you and I are talking about this is that I need to learn, we all need to learn, because what would I do in that situation? And I need to know, and I need to analyse that, because I'm sure at some stage someone will come to me and say it, and, you know, you've got to be prepared. I heard, and again, I'm quoting Hugh Van Collenberg, but he said, it's not only always saying, are you okay? It's, if you suspect something, why don't you ring a bloke and do what you'd normally do? Why don't you say, how about we meet at the pub? Why don't we go to the pub and spend an hour? Because that hour you spend just taking their mind off things, or just, you know, why don't we have a bet on that horse? Why don't we have a quinella or something? Just something silly that shows that you're spending time with them. You do care. You're a mate. So it's not, from what he's saying, it isn't always just, are you okay? It could be, let's have a coffee, let's have a beer, chat like you chat, like, you know, go back years, go back to the old times, go back to the times when you laughed a lot together and the things that you know that he likes talking about and that you like talking about, and it can be as natural as that, can't it? And then it's not forced. And by the way, anything I say here, as you know, Ben, God, I'm not an expert and I'm not giving anyone advice. I'm just sharing my own experiences where, like on Friday, just last week, I went out with 14 school friends. It was one of the best days of my life. We just talked about when we were kids and the stupid things we did, and we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And I got in the car and drove home. I thought, I feel magnificent. How good was that? Just reliving great things that had happened. You know, instead of 14 blokes sitting around and whinging, going, oh, my life's hard. Oh, gee, I do shift work. Or, oh, bloody hell, it's tough. You know, we actually just laughed and told stupid stories. It was one of the most therapeutic things I've ever done. And it all happened. We didn't force it. It just happened by accident. And we hugged each other, slapped each other on the back, and, you know, great times.
Well, you do. You get together as mates and you share that and you feel better for that time with them.
And I walked out and the lad that organised it, I rang him. I said, mate, what a great effort. Well done. And I said, why don't we do this 3 times a year? Because he thought it was just a one-off. He said, we've all seen each other. I said, no, let's, you know, keep doing it. Why wouldn't you? And funnily enough, I mean, this is going off on tangents. I walked into a pub recently. There were all these guys there. I said, oh, what are you blokes all about? They were all about 70. And they said, we all went to Woodville High together. Mm-hmm. They keep catching up, you know, regularly, and they all turn up. And I'm sure there are other school groups around the place that do it. And I know there are old nurses that do it, for example. I used to work in such and such a hospital together. I'll tell you what, they'll be some of the best days you have, because what you'll do is talk about the good times. You'll laugh and laugh and tell stories. Mm. You know, it's very rare on those days you're going to sit in and go, oh, let's talk about all those rotten days we had. And honestly, you just walk away feeling fantastic.
It's at the start of this convo, you were talking about how blokes do go to that dark place. You don't understand that. You know, and we're not professionals here at Triple M. We're trying to start the conversation. So to blokes that might be listening who are feeling like that, what would you say to them as a bloke? I know it's a big one, but it's kind of like I've been open about the fact I lost a mate, and I just wish when he was in that, he just text me and just said, I'm not okay.
Then let me ask you, you know, because you've had time to think about that and reflect on that, haven't you? What could you do differently? What could you do
I don't know.
To turn it around.
I think it's one of those things as blokes, I just wish that we did maybe sort of potentially we're more in touch with our emotional side to be able to have those convos. My mate Matt, no one saw it. And even on the, he sadly took his own life on a, it was a Tuesday morning. On that Sunday night, he had a family dinner with his brothers, his wife, sister-in-laws, mum and dad. No one picked it. Mm. And he didn't reach out. And it wasn't until we got the phone call that he'd done it that anyone knew anything was wrong.
Mm.
So I've had 3 years to sort of sit on that and I sort of think, what could I have done different? And I don't know. I don't have the answer. But one thing I would have loved is Matt to say to any of the boys or his wife or anyone, just, I'm not okay. I need help.
Mm. Because if I suppose, now I'm guessing here, but let's say we do learn as men over the next decade to really, really talk and open up. A lot of people we think go down this path because of financial reasons. Well, do you know what? We'll help financially or we'll introduce you to someone that helps financially. So instead of maybe the option is, God, I owe a lot of money. I've got myself into a bad situation or it could be gambling. Who knows what it is or a bad business choice. Tell you what, I'll end it all. Rather than what if we all said, mate, we've got plenty of experts that can help you with that. We can get you through it.
Mm.
We can introduce you to the right people. So I think the messages can actually be as simple as that, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm just thinking about this as we go.
No, this is what this is about.
My God, I've just found out I've got some horrendous condition. Let's find the right specialist. Let's find somebody. And I think that's what friends can do. Can't we all help each other? It's called the network of friends, isn't it? Let's find the right people who are experts that actually point you in the right direction. And then with the help of your family, because you've reached out and said, I've got this financial issue or I've got this health issue, whatever it is, you put the network around, don't you? And you surround them with the right people. And maybe that can help change that bad one final decision, you know?
When I'm going to ask you this, mate, and I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it, but you said before when I said about if I came to you and said I'm not okay, and you said, oh, that's something I've got to learn. What, like, why? Like, you know, I think I'm amazed by that because, like, I see you as a really kind fella, someone that I could easily approach. And I'm not saying you're a bad bloke for saying what you said, but I'm surprised when you said, I don't know how I'd react in that space. So where does that come from?
Only because I haven't had that happen to me. I can honestly say no one close to me or near me has come to me and said,
wow.
Actually, I'll share a story with you. Just you have reminded me of something. And I'll share this story for a reason that I'm embarrassed by it. And it's probably one of the worst things I've ever said in my life. My son, 2 years ago, had an issue. And he came to me, or he didn't come to me, sorry. I wasn't happy with the way he was acting. And his mother rang me, and it was really placing a lot of pressure on her. And I sat him down. I said, mate, I don't like the way you're talking to your mum and you're treating your mum, because as you do, you explain everything she's doing for you and financially, and she looks after you, live in the house. You know, you're 27 years of age. You could easily shift out and fend for yourself.
Yeah.
And I got really stern and very, very pointed with him.
Mm.
And I said, mate, you know, lift your game. This is pathetic. And he got all teary and he said, Dad, he said, you don't understand. It's mental health.
Mm.
And my response was, I said, pig's ass it is.
Wow.
I said, you bloody pull your socks up, mate. You lift. Don't hit me with that bullshit. Lift.
Mm.
Get better. Well, turns out it was a mental health issue.
Wow.
So that left me as well. I got to find that out in the ensuing months. And, yeah, it didn't leave me feeling very, very good about myself. And that was a hell of a wake-up call because I came from the old school. And again, I'm going off on a tangent. I often thought about my own father, who was the angriest man in the world. And he worked in a factory, worked long days, horrible job. He was there for 40-odd years. And he would come home every day angry to the point where it was scary. And I can often remember some nights my mum saying, bloody hell, Dad's home. In other words, shush, kid, stop making noise, stop running around, put the footy away. Yeah. Don't, you know, because if the footy hit the fence and made a bang, you bloody kid, you'd come out screaming. I'd go, crikey, you're only playing footy. Like, you know, you're on tenterhooks the whole time. And then I thought to myself, I've just bloody treated my own son the same way and on such an important issue and on something so deep and obviously important to him. My response was, don't be so pathetic. You know, work through it. And to elaborate, it was about a breakup in a relationship. And I said, mate, bloody 100 girls out there, go and find another one, which, you know, I mean, you can giggle about, and I sort of am half laughing, but that's how bad. So when you say, why can't I answer? It's because I'm so uneducated in this and I'm you know, happy to admit it. Happy is not the right word, but I'm willing to admit it, that we just have, people like me have to learn so much. We've just got a long, long way to go.
But I think you've grown if you're able to recognise that story and sort of see.
Yeah, it was a bad thing to go through, and it was a real wake-up call.
Can I ask how your son responded to that at the time?
Oh, not good. And I would say he lost a lot of respect for me, I reckon. I'm pretty sure. Because the way he spoke to me after that, I'd clearly really, really cut him. He just thought I was a dinosaur, had no idea. And it wasn't good for a few months. It affected our relationship because he definitely then couldn't talk to me. Like he probably, you know, I've gone from probably being the man that he was meant to go to talk to he would have thought, well, why bloody talk to him again? What a waste of time that is. So it was a bad, bad experience and something that was, you know, quite shameful for me. And the only positive to come out of it is that will never, ever, ever happen again, and I've learnt from it. But so you said earlier, you think I'm a kind person and, you know, probably willing to share. Well, I got it terribly wrong that time, and it was my own son.
I think it's a very brave thing to talk about it, though, Ditz. This is what this is about. You know, if that would have happened again, you wouldn't obviously say it the same way you did.
No. No way.
And how's your son now, can I ask?
He's good. He's really good. But, yeah, he went through a bad time. And, look, I know this is on the public forum now, and if he does hear this, I hope he only understands. I'm telling this story for the right reason, that I will never make that mistake again, but I would ask anyone else to never, ever, ever speak to your son like that, because that's the way my father spoke to us, and it was wrong. Yeah. And he was aggressive, angry, and it was a bloody hard existence. And I always said I'll never, ever put my kids through that same sort of parenting. And I did. The first time I was challenged, I did. So I'm not very proud of that.
Did you ever see your dad emotional? I know what you've just explained, but did you ever see it?
Not really. Nah. He was tough and from the school of never, ever showing emotion, I suppose. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
No, I only asked that because that's what my dad was like when we were kids. Yeah. Didn't really show it. Yeah. Sort of. As he's got older, he's got softer. But definitely didn't show it as much when we were kids. Mm. We'll wrap it up there, but I want to just ask you one thing. Now that we've had this conversation, how did you find it just sitting here with me just as blokes? Has it sort of...
It's out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But you get better at things the more you do them, don't you? So what you're starting is a good thing. You're saying, let's talk more and let's make it easier. So the more we do it, the better we'll get at it. It's like everything else in life, I think.
Yeah, and I think the aim of this is to if you're feeling a bit low, is to reach out to, if you've got a mate, have a chat. Or if you see a mate that's not right, ask if he's all right. Or as you said, take him to the pub.
Mm.
So, Ditz, thank you so much for your time today.
Good on you, Ben. Well done, mate.
Triple M's Real Men Can Talk. Have the conversation today. If you are struggling or know someone who is, contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or visit beyondblue.org.au.